We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, I guess you guys know it's hot outside. Surprise, surprise, right? 94 degrees currently at the Elk City Mezzanette. Heat index is 96. The winds are out of the south, southwest at 9 miles an hour with a humidity at 35. One of my buddy up there east of Cheyenne is still baling grass hay right now, or if it's shattering on him. We'll see what happens. Anyway, I haven't heard from him. So I've been on him for about 3 days to get his hay baled up, quit messing around and having excuses. But anyway, he's got some blue stem down up there along the river in the bend of, what is that road? Anyway, the back road from Cheyenne to Hammond. Anyway, we'll see if he's got that going on. Let's see, for the fun of it, who is the hot spot in Oklahoma? Whoa, it's all north of us. Woodward, Freedom, Buffalo, Slap Out, Beaver, all 100 degrees already. Altus, you're the coolest in the southwestern part of the state. Wheeler and Shamrock and Canadian, you're sitting in there about 93, 94 degrees. And Mangum's a hot spot, and Hobart and Hollis are all the hot spots. Actually, it just changed. So 95 degrees in those places. Let's see what's happening at Weatherford, 92. Putnam's 96 up there where B&L Red Angus Ranch is. And anyway, it is hot out there. And the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, it doesn't look no bueno. It's just not looking good. Anyway, there is a chance of rain tomorrow evening, and I hope somebody gets some. But one of those, I don't think it's going to be like it was last week, wherever it pops up, and if you're under it, lucky. And it is taking its toll. I went and made a full tour of all the farms yesterday, and it is, this heat and dry weather, as most of you know, is taking a severe toll on the grass. The water levels in the ponds are dropping like a rock. And it's just not no good. Well, let's check out the futures on our grains. Corn for July, 787, up 9. September, 642, up 9. December, 633, up 10. Soybean, July, 1657, up 27. August, 1532, it's up 19. Soybeans for September, 1433, it's up also 19. And then we have soybean meal, July, $487.30 a short ton, it's up about 9. August is 435, and September is $414.70 a short ton. Soybean oil, July, 66 cents a pound, August is 64.01. September is 62.67. Hard red winter wheat futures for July, 9.25. September, 9.17. Oats is at 6.86 for July. Yep, that's right. I had to look at that. It was kind of blurred there. September is 4.87 for bushel of oats. Cotton is up slightly today. It's at $1.02 a pound. And sugar for you boys over there in the Dale High area. You're still hanging in there at 19 cents a pound. So you ain't lost any money, but you ain't made any since I started reading what a pound of sugar costs. You're just holding your own. Hopefully you get a big crop under all those pivots you got over there. Well, let's check out what is going on in the world with agriculture and why our grain market is still up and down all the time. Soybeans and grain surged in overnight trading amid dry weather in much of the United States Midwest. Don't forget the Southern Plains. While much of the upper Corn Belt has received ample rain in the past week, several states, including Kansas, most of Missouri, Oklahoma, and Arkansas, have received little or any precipitation, according to the data from the National Weather Service. Weekend rains favored the central and southeastern Midwest over the weekend through storms, which will be much spottier for the next couple weeks. Temperatures are expected to be in the 90s or low 100s in the central and southern plains this week and next week. In the Midwest, next week, temperatures are forecast to be in the low to mid 90s, and more intense heat in the plains and far western Midwest will threaten corn pollination. In the northern plains, Canadian and prairies, and meanwhile, hot weather is expected in the next 2 weeks up there in the far northern plains, though soil moisture will be limited stress on crops. About 64% of the United States corn crop was in good or excellent condition at the start of last week. That's down 67% from a week earlier. 63% of the U.S. soybeans earned top ratings, down from 65% the previous week. Soybean futures for November delivery jumped 33.25 cents to $13.98.75 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal added $12.70 to $404.50 a short ton. That's probably one of the biggest jumps I've seen soy meal do since I started the show. While soybean oil futures gained 1.11 cents, that's a little over a penny, to 60.77 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery were up 29.25 cents to $6.25.5 a bushel. Wheat for September delivery surged 56.75 cents to $8.93.25 a bushel, while Kansas City futures added 57.5 cents to $9.46 a bushel. Money managers drastically cut their net long positions or bets on higher prices in corn and soybeans last week, according to the data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors held a net 157,976 corn future contracts in the 7 days it ended on July 5th, according to the commodity outfit. That's down from 211,933 contracts a week earlier and the smallest such position since the week that ended on October 13th of 2020. That's quite a while back. Speculators also curbed their bullish bets on soybeans to 101,000 contracts. That's down from almost 150,000 contracts last week or the week earlier. That's the smallest bullish stand since January 18th. In wheat, investors held a net 21,988 hard red winter wheat contracts as of last week, and that's down from 24,699 contracts a week earlier, marking the smallest such position since September 29 of 2020. Not 21, but of 2020. Investors remain bearish in soft red winter wheat, although holding a net short position or bets on lower prices, as we normal people say, just betting on the line, man, of 1,978 futures contracts as of last week. That's up from a bearish position of 1,169 contracts the week prior to that. Okay, what's going on weather in the United States besides being hot and dry? Severe thunderstorm warnings and watches remain in effect for parts of central to eastern Iowa into northern Illinois, according to the National Weather Service. Several counties in eastern Iowa are under a severe thunderstorm warning. A line of disturbances are moving through there at about 40 miles an hour. Wind gusts overnight reached 60 miles an hour in some places, and dozens of counties in Iowa and Illinois are under a thunderstorm watch as wind gusts of 70 miles an hour were still possible in the area. Right, I know you guys remember some of the storms, and I'm sure people around Bessie and that area where that storm started down there west of Willow a little ways and made its way through north of Granite, headed up towards Retrop and Port and Bessie. You guys got a pretty good shower the other night. That storm, you could see it from Elk City. We was out all working at the golf course at Elk City for the KECO Open, and I could see the dirt kicking up in front of this storm, and I know there had to be some severe winds, but it looked like you guys got some much needed rain. So anyway, God bless you on that one. Before I go to break, guess what's coming up? This is a busy time of the year in Western Oklahoma. We just got through with the KECO Open at Christmas in July, and coming up this weekend, there's a lot going on. Number one, Saturday, the big time fishing derby here at the Elk City Ackley Park that KECO is putting on for kids, not grown adults. So don't be bringing your poles out here with your live reeds where you can go in there. Just, this is for kids only. The Wildlife Department will be out there. Lieutenant James and his group of guys will be there. If you don't have any fishing poles, don't worry. The Oklahoma Wildlife Department will provide you fishing poles. And we had this discussion this morning on Exploring Energy. Don't be taking off with Lieutenant James fishing poles, because I'm not kidding you. He's got some Dick Tracy blood in him. He's got some Bloodhound blood in him. And no telling what else he's got in him. But he will track you down. That's why he's a game warden. Anyway, just kidding. Guys, just bring your poles back to him. No big deal. Whole crew will be out there, all except for yours truly. I won't be assisting in the fishing derby this year. Because you know why? I'm going to be at the Dust Bowl days. The Dust Bowl Farm and Ranch Festival coming up this Saturday, but the day before, the first annual KECO 96.5 Wild Plum Jam Music Fest will be going on in Sayre, sponsored by the Sayre Chamber of Commerce and brought to you by Hutch's Sea Stores. It'll start noon on Friday, and it'll last all the way until Stoney's done, which I figure it'll be around 11:30 or midnight. But anyway, Stoney LaRue, Tyler Wilhelm, Michael Mark Murphy, Joe Merrick, Even Money, Ragland. Food trucks will be out there all day. Vendors, adult beverages, free swimming. All kidding aside, you parents need to think about this. What better place to go out there and sit under shade tree, because Sayre Park's got some big old trees. Go out there, sit under the trees, listen to some great music, send your kids over there to a fenced-in area around the swimming pool so you don't have to watch them as close as you normally would, and they can swim for free. Plus, the kids get in for free at the concert, the festival, with an adult. So you can buy your tickets at any of the Hutch's Sea Stores locations, or maybe purchase online at sarahchamber.org, or bought at the gate. Friendly reminder, only the tickets purchased at the Hutch's Sea Stores will be entered in the first annual Sweet and Juicy Sweepstakes, cash and prizes given away all afternoon, and you have to be present, and your ticket to buy at Hutch's Sea Stores will be the only tickets that is eligible for that. So go get your tickets at Hutch's Sea Store now and get it over with. And I was talking to Miss Kay Ellen, big boss over there at Sayre Chamber of Commerce, the other day, and she said they had some really nice gifts to give away. So there you have it. And then later on the show today, I want to talk a little bit about the Dust Bowl Ranch and Farm Festivals coming up Saturday. The parade, the festivals out there all afternoon at the park, vendors and all that stuff. It's going to be a blast. So there's a lot going on in Oklahoma coming up this weekend, especially right here at Elk City at the park, and also at Sayre for the Dust Bowl days. So anyway, it's going to be fine, and I want to talk to you guys about bringing some farm equipment or making a float, even if it's a round bale of hay painted on it, coming over to the Heritage Parade, and it'll be fun. And I'll give you Miss Sherry Dammer's number so you can get a hold of her to put entry into the parade. It's going to be fun. And I don't know, there's just going to be a lot of things set up as far as vendors and the blacksmiths from the Elk City O-Town Museum come over there last year and was doing some stuff. So it's going to be fun. Anyway, we get back,
we'll talk about livestock and the markets going on. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I knew I was probably going to try to get a hold of Mickey, and I had been shopping and had the prices. So I had shopped previously before Mickey showed up at the office, and I told him that. And he understood, and he said he wanted to give it a shot. And so he did, and his prices were right. And his coverage was as good or better than what I was, some of the stuff I was shopping. And so that was an easy decision for me because I'd already done the legwork on the other end, but I had been to their places. He shows up at my barn. And so when he was even a little bit cheaper on some stuff the same, it was an easy decision for me because you got a guy there wanting your business. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
-96 degrees, heat index is at 98. The winds are still out of the south-southwest from 9 miles an hour with gusts up to 17. Humidity is 33. Here on the Gabe Gadget in the studio, it is 94.5 degrees, 32% humidity, and 4.5 mile an hour wind out of the south-southwest. So anyway, that's here at the studio. We're in a town. We're blocked by all these skyscrapers and asphalt and stuff. Surprisingly, it's not hotter. Anyway, we got all kinds of things to talk about today. But first, let's look at the, as of an hour ago, the futures on livestock. Everything's in the green today except for some hogs. August, live cattle, 136.05. October, 142.25. December 146.37 and February is 151.27. Feeder cattle for August 174.47, September 176.85, July 112.92 on the hogs, and August lean hogs is 108.47, and October is $93.60. What's happening with the oil and all that good stuff? Natural gas is back up almost to $6.50, and oil is actually down to 104. Talking to the lieutenant governor this morning,
on the Exploring Energy show, and revenues are up in the state because of the oil and gas industry. But, you know, we just got, it's tough out there. And I'm surprised there's many people traveling out here with the prices the way they are. I mean, they're the highest they ever been. But Butch did say that he's seen where some on-road diesel was below $5 yesterday somewhere. So anyway, we'll see how that gets around. Let me see here. I'm looking for this thing from Texas. No, I'm looking for this thing from Oklahoma. Bear with me. I know it's here somewhere. Where did you go? Well, let me find it one more time. I got the livestock reports from where'd it go? I lost it. Oh, there we go. Here we go. Well, no, I don't. I don't know what. There it is. I found it. I'm sorry it's complicated in here today with this one computer screen going on. All right. Let me scroll down here and find it. Actually, the Texas didn't have any livestock reports from the sale barns a week prior to last week because of the 4th of July. But in Oklahoma, we did have a summary for July 8th. And looks like compared to last week, feeder cattle and calves lightly tested as most sales closed this week due to prior to that week to the 4th of July holiday. Three sales were open: OKC West, feeder and calves, Southern Oklahoma Livestock Auction, and Apache. Though lightly tested, a higher undertone was noted on feeder cattle. Few calf sales sold with a lower undertone. Numbers continue to be driving force in the market, as many expecting lighter feeder numbers are producing high prices. Summer's heats have been relentless, with 100 degree days beginning to show with very little relief in sight. Slaughtered cows and bulls also lightly tested. Slaughtered cows sold steady to $3 lower, and slaughtered bulls sold steady. Supply was 87% feeder cattle, 9% slaughter cattle, and 3% replacement cattle, and that's all here in Oklahoma. Feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was at 66%. So here we go. 7,091 head were sold at the sale barns last week, compared to 34,000 the week prior to that, and about 9,200 this time last year. Let's check out some of the prices, because I know some people are thinking about maybe start sell calves early, because no joke aside, from what I seen south of I-40 yesterday, that grass is going backwards as fast as I've seen it in a long time. Looks like we had some 277-pound steers were bringing up to 235 a pound. Some 300-pound steers, these in particular, are bringing, they weighed 324 and brought 233. And then we had some 375-pounders that brought up to 232. Average was 226, and they were thin-fleshed. 419-pounders were bringing 220. Some thin-fleshed ones brought 217.50. They weighed 429. And then when you got into the heavier part of the upper fours, 474s brought 203. 483s were bringing up to $1.93. And we got some 500-pounders, a big bunch, two big bunches of 500-pounders. First bunch was 528-pound average weight, brought up to $1.97. Their price averaged out at $1.89. 565-pounders brought up to $1.95, and they averaged out at $1.90. And then some fancy ones, nice load, 581-pounders brought $1.93. And then we had some big load of 620-pounders brought up to $1.76, and some really fancy 626-pounders brought $1.79. Get up in the 700-pound range, there was 159 head at average 730 brought up to $1.75. 170 was the average. And then they had some small bunch that averaged 713 that was unwinged, brought $1.60 250. So that's what's going on and went on in Oklahoma. Texas didn't have any. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction's going on today. Woodward will reopen tomorrow. And, of course, Hobart didn't shut down last week. They had their sale. They'll be going down there Wednesday. Call Mr. Rex Fleming if you got any buy for your buying and selling needs. Thursday, Woodward will be back to their feeder calf sale. And Friday, Elk City Livestock Auction will be going on. And Saturday, Hollis, started with the HS close. Hollis will be kicking her off again Saturday. So anyway, lots going on at sale barns. Lots to be thinking about. Grass is going backwards. No rain in the forecast. Talked to two or three of different buddies of mine yesterday. Thought they'd go ahead and pull their calves off early maybe and go ahead and try to at least get $700 to $800 or dollars per head on their calves that are weighing anywhere from 300 to 400. Try to get that done early and save your grass for their mamas and all kinds of things. You know, we go from one extreme to the other. We had a drought all winter. Then we went to all these crazy prices that for the majority of the time, we still got the crazy high prices. Now we got another mini drought setting in. So we got lots to think about. I will tell you guys about it before I go to break. Social media was meant to be for socializing, but seems like a lot of people like to get on there. I'm not saying I'm not guilty. If I start some crap on social media, it's usually for the fun of it. And yes, I have a criminal record on Facebook. I've been in jail 4 times this year. Matter of fact, I'm wearing a Facebook ankle bracelet right now so they can track me. But there was on a couple of our big ag social media pages, some guys got on there, people got on there. I don't know if it's guy or gal. Anyways, people got on there. Down there in Emory, Texas, they showed where trucks were lined up for miles to dump off their cattle. And in these posts, they were blaming the present administration and input costs are too high and all this stuff. Well, there's probably some of that going on, but this particular deal was in Texas, there was no sale barns open the week of the 4th of July. So they had extra people coming in there this time because they were bringing their cattle in because they didn't get them in prior to the 4th of July. And they were lined up on the highway. And you guys remember what it looked like back in the summer of 2011 out here at Elk City Livestock Barn on 6 Highway when people were lined up, farmers and ranchers getting rid of their cows because of the drought. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. But guess what? We all come back strong, just as strong, if not stronger. But social media, just they put something out there and people blame it because all the comments were like, let's go Brandon, that president, blah, 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 and all that stuff. But that's not what that picture was. It was actually these farmers come in there for 2 reasons. One, they got a drought going on in Texas, a big drought. Biggest part of the state is under a D3 or D4. I mean, it's severe going on. They're getting rid of them. They're being smart. They don't have any grass to feed, and they can't afford to feed them hay. Not starting right now. Not at today's hay prices and the input cost and all that and cake prices. And then they just made it bigger out of deal. It was, it was the government's fault. The government's forcing us to do this. And the government does have some things that they've caused with these input costs, but it's about it, mainly even the guys from down there said, we're selling because of the drought. Or the other ways we wouldn't be doing it. So anyway, just be careful with what you read out there. You know, a month or so ago when those cattle died up there at those 4 different feedlots and it was only 2,000 head, not 10,000 head, you know, they were showing pictures of cattle that died 2 years ago in Pampa. So just be careful on what you read and what you take out of it. And if you're really careful and you don't make too much of a fuss on it, you won't end up in Facebook jail like your truly host of the Day in Ag, Jimmy Clark, is. So I'll be back right after this with some more information from the agriculture world. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 24th. 1,062 head were sold. 22 head of steers at 279 brought 540. 4 at 441 brought 192. 8 at 501 brought 173. 6 at 543 brought 179. 10 at 631 brought 176. 3 head of heifers at 213 brought 460. 5 at 525 brought 155. 11 at 568 brought 157.50. 8 at 595 brought 150. 30 at 764 brought 149.50. Butcher cows were 25 to 102. Butcher bulls brought 82 to 128. Bred cows were 750 to 1200. Pairs brought 825 to 1725. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today and we'll have a truck headed your way.
96.5 KECO, Cool 94, and Presidio Petroleum present the 8th Annual Kids Fishing Derby this Saturday at Elk City's Ackley Park. From 8 a.m. until noon, all kids ages 15 and under are invited to fish for free for a chance to win prizes, including specialty tag fish worth $100. Mini golf, the Centennial Carousel, and train will be free until 2 p.m. courtesy of Presidio Petroleum. Get there early for free worms and t-shirts while supplies last. We'll see you and the kids at the KECO, Cool 94, Presidio Kids Fishing Derby this Saturday at Elk City's Ackley Park.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Warming right up, 96 degrees heat index, and the winds are still out of the southwest like a blow dryer, 8 miles an hour with wind gust up to 19. I am, if you're watching on Facebook, I got one of my favorite FFA chapters hats on. The Hobart FFA chapter gave me a cap when they came in during National FFA week, and I'm wearing it today, and it matches my shirt too. My wife would be so proud. She's gonna look now that I said something. But anyway, coming up this Saturday, Sayre, Oklahoma, it is the Dust Bowl Days Farm and Ranch Festival, and Saturday morning, 10 a.m., the Heritage Parade, floats, farm family floats, farm equipment, antique tractors, pedal tractor, horses, buggies. North Fork will have their trucks there. Centennial Farm floats. Get a hold of Sherry Dameron at 580-374-2845. Get a hold of the beautiful Miss Sherry Dameron, and she will help you guys. Just use your imagination on these parade floats. The more the merrier. You know, the bigger the parade. You're going to have to, I would recommend you get candy that doesn't melt as soon as it hits the asphalt, because I'm actually, they asked me to MC the parade, and I don't know why, but it might be my only time to ever MC the parade, because I'm telling you, I'm going to be yelling at people in the floats,
Because I'm bringing the speaker system, and my boss here, Gabe, he's hooking me up with the sound system. So you're going to be able to hear me. I'm going to be yelling at people, making fun of them at the on the floats, and I'm probably going to be yelling at somebody's kids, and don't get offended, because I'm going to be yelling at them to leave that piece of candy for me for after the parade, or at least pick it up and bring it to me. Anyway, we're going to have fun. I promise you we'll have some fun in this parade. So if you guys don't have them do anything, your kids want to make a float, put it on a bumper pull trailer behind your pickup or your car, whatever, and put a bale of hay up there and paint it like a pumpkin or a John Deere tractor or anything you want, and just use your imagination. There's all kinds of room. It's going to be a blast. The parade will end up at the Sarah Park out there under all that shade of the big cottonwood trees. There's going to be food vendors out there. My favorite one last year was the ice cream truck from Clinton or Arapahoe, Custer County for sure. They get in that's a good deal. And matter of fact, one of the food vendors, the Sticks truck from Amarillo, she just texted me on the phone. She's a product of Sentinel, Oklahoma. Rainy, she's going to have her truck there this weekend also over there. I don't know if she's going to be there Friday and Saturday. I know she's going to be there Saturday. But, man, it's a big weekend coming up in Sarah, Oklahoma. You guys got to take part of it. And then the fishing derby going on here. All right, let's go on with some ag news. And if you didn't write Sherry's number down, you can call the Chamber of Commerce at Sayre, or you can get on Facebook to the Dust Bowl Farm and Ranch Festival, and you can get a hold of Sherry to get your entry into the parade, because they need to have them all numbered, because it was very well. Blake took the cool truck over there last year, and I took the KECO Hummer over there, and it was very organized. We had our number, and you didn't drive out there on that highway unless your number was called. Anyway, so it was very very organized, and it's a lot of fun. So anyway, all right, where do we want to start at? You know, I come across this article, and I thought it had some really good recommendations. There's a lot of people out here on the farms today. Most of them got central heat and air, but there's some that don't. And even if you do have central heat and air and you want to save on electricity, you know, we got this heat going on, so you know a lot of electricity is being pulled, and it would really probably help out all of our co-ops and our PSO and if we weren't just drawing all the electricity in the afternoon and help them out a little bit. But not everybody is lucky enough to have central air, especially families living in older farmhouses. Our ancestors survived all summer without air conditioning, and so can we. This person, Lisa Prater, that wrote this article said her house was built in 1890. That's about the same time as that house I lived in over there north of Canute where Mrs. Kephart lived in, and it was a cool house. The walls were 2 foot thick, and if the sheriff come after me, they was going to have to bring an armored truck if I got into trouble. Luckily for me, I never got into any trouble. But in order to have central heat air installed, we would have to have all the ductwork done. We used window units for years in the living room and our bedroom, and a few years ago we bought a portable standing unit for our boys' room. We couldn't put a window unit in their room because a bed blocked one window, and we needed to keep one open in case of a fire, which is pretty smart. The portable unit has a vent hose that goes into the window, but that window can still be easily open if needed. So we are so happy when that unit that we since replaced the window units in our bedroom and living room with these portable units. And it's pretty cool portable units that they got. You guys have seen them. They got them down at Troy Jones and all the places they rented out. It's those kind of units there where you got that going on. But anyway, it made me think about when I was a kid, when we did have an air conditioner, it was one of those ones that you had to fill up with water every day, and it circulated through the sides of them. One of those old ones, man, that wasn't no fun. It was my job because I had seven sisters, and I was their little punk brother that I had to go out and fill the AC unit during the summer with water. And if it ran out, I pretty much got beaten by at least three of my sisters at one time because mom was beating on them to beat on me. So anyway, it was fun times, old memories. In the meantime, we do the best we can to keep things cool. I have learned to use slow cookers whenever possible in the summer if we aren't grilling or using an air fryer. Our oven probably won't be turned on again until September. I also hang clothes outside to dry whenever I can to avoid having to run the dryer. If I do need to dry clothes, I try to do it first thing in the morning before it gets hot. Just one of the tips. There's a comfort in knowing that I'm not alone. Here are some of the tips from some of her readers who lack central air. During the day, I put the fan in the cellar doorway and open the outside door to the cellar. It draws cool air in from the cellar right into our kitchen. This is one I never thought about. They place frozen milk jugs in front of a box fan and put aluminum foil on their windows, shiny side out. Wrapping their foil around a piece of cardboard cut to fit the window, and then it's easy to pop in and pop out during the day in the morning. That's a pretty good idea. Just pop the cardboard in there and you can reuse it the next year because aluminum foil is not cheap right now. This person says we have an indoor-outdoor thermometer and watch it very closely. In the evening, we open the windows as soon as the outside temperature is lower than the inside temperature. Then in the morning, as soon as the outside temperature gets close to the inside temperature, we close all the windows and shades, and it makes a huge difference. Closing shades in your house makes a huge difference. And light heat, so just make it dark in there. Because actually, electricity from light bulbs is cheaper than electricity, uses less electricity than the ones from your AC unit. In the summer, I take flat sheets and put them over the open windows, then spray them with a water mister. I never heard of this one. As the breeze blows through, it cools the air. Well, there you have it. You have to keep the sheets damp, but it really works. I read this on Little House on the Prairie books as a child. That is what Ma did to cool the cabin. There you go. I grew up in a house with no AC. I put towels in the fridge and laid on them, put them over my legs at night. It helped enough to get sleep. Our house AC is struggling to keep up, and the window unit upstairs isn't keeping up. I finally gave up and started working on moving them all to the basements. We'll be sleeping in a cool 71 degrees in the basement tonight. Biggest thing I've seen on this list was install an exhaust fan in the attic. If you guys ever been up in the attic, you know it's hot. So if you have an exhaust fan up there and you can keep that exhaust, keep the attic cool and get the hot air out of there, it'll make a difference. This one woman says, put your sheets and pillows in the freezer. That's not wet, just put them in there and then come out, bring them out, and throw them back on there before you go to bed. At least you can go to sleep cool. You'll probably wake up hot, but there you go. Put your sheets and pillows in the freezer. We used to put a big cattle fan that tilted at the bottom of the stairs to blow cool air up from the basement. My dad had an old log farmhouse. I'd leave the windows open all night, close them before dawn, and then run the ceiling fans. Well, there you go. There's some of your tips to keep your house cool if you don't have the luxury of AC or you just want to keep your electricity bill down. There you have it. When I get back, I got the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you and a little update on the drought. And we got some stuff on the Texas hay market from last week. It's up about $10 a ton, looks like. So we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
We strive in our cow herd for high efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, June the 28th, we sold 1,641 cows, both kids. Thursday, June the 30th, we sold 3,572 kids and feeders for a total of 5,213 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 80 up to 93. Thin cows bring 51 to 83. Bulls bring 80 up to 118. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 900 to 1,400, with their 2 to 4 year old pairs, 1460 to 1550, 5-day-year-old pairs, 1050 to 1575. On our steer cattle, 350 to 4-weight steers, 213 to 217, 450 to 5-weights, 186 to 203, 5 to 550, 189 to 196, 6 to 650, 174 to 189, 7 to 750, 167 to 174, 8-day-50, 156 to 160-175, 9 to 950, 158 to 159.75, and 1,050 pound steers, 142 to 143.5. On our heifers, 19 heifers weighing 380 bring 175, 4 to 450, 179 to 189, 5 to 550, 166 to 186, 6 to 650, 163 to 167.75, 7 to 750, 149 to 159, 8 to 850, 135 to 149.25, 9 to 950 heifers, 133 to 145.5, and 1,100-pound heifers, 121 to 134.50. Better figure what some of these cattle bringing, even the calves off the cow. Very good price, very good sale, both on cows and feeder market, with 6 to 650 steers topping 189, 750 to 8-weight steers topping 172.5, 9 to 950 topping at 159.75, and our 5 to 550 steers topping 196. No sale next week, no sale Tuesday, July the 5th, no sale Thursday, July the 7th. Have a good July the 4th. Be thankful you live in America with all the freedoms we have. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Currently 97 degrees at the Elk City Mezzanit. It is 99 degrees heat index and the southwest winds 8 miles an hour with gust up to 45. Humidity's dropped to 32%. Let's see if we're basically, oh yeah, Woodward 102, Freedom 103, Buffalo 103, Slapout 101. It's hot north of us up here, but I think basically once it gets above 95 degrees, it doesn't matter whether it's 95 or 105. It's just downright hot and not fun no more. Well, let's check out the Hobart Farm and Garden long-range forecast. Pretty simple. It's just hot. Today, 102 for a high. Tonight, 71 for a low. 96 for tomorrow. It's going to chill down a little bit. Tomorrow night, we have a 20% chance of thunderstorms. And the wind will be switching out of the northeast 6 to 15 miles an hour. Wednesday, hot 97. Thursday, back into triple digits, hot. Friday, 101, hot. That's your Hobart Farm and Garden hot forecast for you. I come across this. You guys got your pencil and pen ready? Because I'm not going to repeat this, or I'm not going to forward it on, but I'm going to tell you, you don't want to miss out on this. watermelon strawberry ice pops. I know some people's got some strawberries out there in their garden right now, and watermelons are close, but listen to this. It's really simple to make. 12 ounces of strawberries whole. That's about 2 cups. 2 tablespoons of honey. 2 1/4 cups of cube seedless watermelon, about 12 ounces. And 2 tablespoons of lime juice. And just a pinch of salt. Pinch. It says a pinch, and that's P-I-N-C-H. Pinch. Cut strawberries into quarters, mix with the honey in a bowl, set aside for about 20 to 30 minutes or until the juices come out. Put all the ingredients in a blender and process until smooth. Divide amongst your molds, your popsicle molds, and put in the freezer. Bam! You're done. You're ready. It's got to be good. That deal I just gave you there will do 6 to 8 servings. So double up on it, triple up on it, and invite me over, and I will do a taste test for you. Anyway, easy done. 12 ounces of strawberries, basically 2 cups, 2 tablespoons of honey, 2 1/4 cups of cube seedless watermelon, 2 tablespoons of lime juice, and a pinch of salt. That's all you got to do. Anyway, that sounds great. Be great for this hot weather. Okay. You guys, most of you guys already probably seen the drought map that was put out last week, but it just, it's not good. Not a lot has changed in Oklahoma, except up in the panhandle. That little red spot that we had, it's the D3 up north here in Woodward County and Dewey County, and that little triangle right there is still there. Most of our listening area right now, we are in a D2. Severe drought. Most all southwestern Oklahoma, northwestern Oklahoma, eastern Texas panhandle, we are all under a D2. The biggest part of state of Texas, which is a bunch, it's a big state, and the eastern part of New Mexico are all in a D3 and a D4. It's pretty dry down in there, and it's gonna, you know, they look for reasons to mess with the market. So these markets are going to come out because, you know, a lot of dry land cotton has been planted. And I've seen some up. And cotton can take pretty good abuse. But, man, if we don't get something here in the next few weeks, I'm not a cotton farmer, but I can see it. Also, I got a question to ask for you. We got about 5 minutes left in the show. Hopefully somebody will text me in. Is there an elevator in the western Oklahoma, southwestern Oklahoma mainly, but is there an elevator in western Oklahoma that takes corn? Is there anybody that takes corn that's not up north around Enid or up towards the panhandle? Is there anybody around here that takes corn at their elevator? I just want to know that. I'm just out of curiosity. So if you do, text that in at 580-225-9697. I'd appreciate it. I just want to call them and talk to them a little bit about something, but we just put our first corn in, so I have no clue. It's going to an individual, so it doesn't matter, but I'd like to talk to the elevator anyway. All right, that's it on the drought monitor. Not good. Let's see here. Where do we go? Direct hay report for Texas. Compared to the last report, hay prices remain mostly firm to $10 higher in all regions. Hay demand remains very good. Hotter than average temperatures accompanied by high winds and limited moisture has hurt hay yields in all regions. Stockpiles of last year's hays are dwindling, and pasture conditions across most of the state are rated in fair to very poor condition. This is in Texas. As a result, livestock producers are feeding supplemental hay and beginning to cull deeper into the cow herds and sell off calves earlier than normal. If this weather pattern continues, it is looking like hay supplies will be very tight come fall into winter. Hay from outside the state will continue to move in, but continually increasing freight prices are going to have an impact on the end cost to producers. I don't see how you can do it. Get hay from hundreds of miles away. I don't know what it's running right now, but I heard it was $6-7 a mile, and I might be wrong. Well, here's some prices on some alfalfa premium, some large square 3x4s. Price range is running anywhere from $350 to $400.
Bermuda grass premium, 3x4 squares, anywhere from 280 to 330. And in small squares, $280 to $330 a ton for small squares. Bermuda grass premium, looks like the very, well, we said the small squares. I'm talking about the smaller squares that are what, 2x3s or 3x4s, whatever they are. Small squares, the little bitty ones, they're running anywhere from, on Bermuda grass in Texas, $10 to $14 a bale. Large round bales are bringing $240 a ton, $208 to $240 a ton in Texas. And then large rounds on good to premiums, just the bale itself, $130 to $150 a piece. On Bermuda grass, small squares by the ton, anywhere from $235 to $275. Text line was lighting up. Carnegie might, Shattuck might. Cool. Thank you very much. I got somewhere to start in there. I just didn't know where to start. I had no clue. All the elevators I knew didn't take it. So, anyway, thank you very much for your information there. Anyway, that's your Texas Direct Hay Report from last week. We got just a little bit of time left, but I want you guys to think about something. Make sure during all this heat, I'm just doing this not to pick on you, but just a friendly reminder, check your water. If you got tanks out there and you depend on, even if you depend on rural water, check your water at least every other day, and if not every day. Cool weather is a big must. Cool water is a big must for your cattle success. Also, take care of those flies. They're terrible this year, no matter where you go. And flies carry diseases, not only for cattle, but to horses. Mosquitoes, West Nile disease for your, Nile virus for your deer. Get with your vet. There's all kinds of ways to try to control these the best you can. Anyway, hope you enjoyed the show tomorrow. Today? Tomorrow, I'll be back here in full force. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
It's on.
KECO, Elk City.